Spring seems to be in the air, finally. As I read to you today from the Clinton Journal, this is Pat, and it's Friday, April the 10th. On the front page, DeWitt County final tax multiplier is announced. From Springfield, DeWitt County has issued a final property assessment equalization factor of 1.0000, according to David Harris, Director of Illinois Department of Revenue, IDOR. The property assessment equalization factor, often called the multiplier, is the method used to achieve uniform property assessments among counties, as required by law. This equalization is particularly important because some of the state's 6,600 local taxing districts overlap into two or more counties, such as school districts, junior college districts, fire protection districts. If there was no equalization among counties, substantial inequities among taxpayers with comparable properties would result. Under a law passed in 1975, property in Illinois should be assessed at one-third of its market value. Farm property is assessed differently, with farm home sites and dwellings subject to regular assessing and equalization procedures. Farmland is assessed at one-third of its agricultural economic value and not subject to the state equalization factor. Assessments in DeWitt County are at 33.31% of market value, based on the sales of properties in 2022, 2023, and 2024. The equalization factor currently being assigned is for 2025 taxes payable in 2026. Last year's equalization factor for the county was 1.000. The final assessment equalization factor was issued after a public hearing on the tentative factor. The tentative factor issued on the January the 23rd, 2026, was 1.000. The equalization factor is determined annually for each county by comparing the price of individual properties sold over the past 3 years to the assessed value placed on those properties by the county supervisor of assessments, county assessor. If the three-year average level of assessments is one-third of the market value, the equalization factor will be 1. If the average level of assessment is greater than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be less than 1. And if the average level of assessment is less than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be greater than 1. A change in the equalization factor does not mean total property taxes will increase or decrease. Tax bills are determined by local taxing bodies when they request money each year to provide services to local citizens. If the amount requested by local taxing districts is not greater than the amount received in the previous year, then total property taxes will not increase, even if assessments increase. The assessed value of an individual property determines what portion of the tax burden a specific taxpayer will assume. That individual's portion of tax responsibility is not changed by the multiplier. And also from the front page, Clinton girl flies in junior Kama Phi. Hanging by a rope while flying through the air was probably not in 14-year-old Kendall Johnson's plans when she started school at Thomas Metcalf School in Normal, but now it's something she loves. Kendall, the daughter of Andrew Johnson of Opella and Lauren Johnson of Clinton, is a member of the Junior Gamma Phi Circus, a program open to students at Metcalf School on the Illinois University campus. The program is a division of ISU's Gamma Phi Circus, a collegiate troupe that performs professional level acrobatics and circus acts. Founded in 1929, some of these acts include tumbling, trapeze, high wire, juggling with fire, the German wheel, and more. This year's Junior Gamma Phi Circus performance had a wicked theme, and Kendall performed in the role of Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West. Junior Gamma Phi held its annual performance last month. The Collegiate Gamma Phi Circus Show will be held April 17th through 18th at ISU's CFU Arena. Kendall, an 8th grade student, has been part of Junior Gamma Phi since 5th grade. She started with tumbling, teeter-boring, which is using a seesaw device to catapult into the air and perform aerial stunts, and silks, aerial acrobatics, while hanging from special silk fabric. This year, Kendall performed her favorite act, the Spanish Web, described as aerial ballet using a rope-like apparatus. The Gamma Phi Circus website reports that the Spanish Web requires a high degree of strength, choreography, and artistry. Kendall also performed with the Gym Wheel, or German Wheel, requiring her to roll and spiral in and on a human-sized wheel, demanding core strength and flexibility. Because this was Kendall's second year performing on the Spanish Web, she received more opportunities and longer performance times. Kendall said Junior Gamma Phi has given her more confidence, adding that the circus challenges that scared her in the fifth grade have become a lot less scary over the years. Kendall and her mom praise Brittany Tarr, a Metcalf teacher who coordinates the Junior Gamma Phi each year, for her hard work in facilitating the program. "The circus has taught me not to be afraid to try new things," Kendall said. Also from the front page, city plans additional camera security for Kiwanis Park, Gordon Woods reporting. The City Council voted on Monday to contract with Flock Camera Systems for 2 years at $24,000 a year to provide security cameras with license plates readers at Kiwanis Park. The city hopes the system will reduce vandalism in the park. City Commissioner Dan Ballinger said a reason the readers were being installed in Kiwanis Park was because of the hidden location of the park, making it more susceptible to vandalism. He said the city still relied as well on help from the public. "It can still happen while there are cameras," Ballinger said. Ballinger said the city was not ruling out installing the cameras in other parks, but this is a starting point, he said. Ballinger said Kiwanis Park was currently the most at risk of vandalism. New playground equipment was installed in the park last fall. Commissioner John Wise pointed out the city looked at several security camera systems before choosing Flock. Kiwanis Park Cleanup Day. Volunteers are invited to help with the cleanup of Kiwanis Park starting at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. Cleanup will concentrate on the wooded area around the park. Volunteers are advised to wear long-sleeve shirts and work gloves. Work is expected to wrap up by noon. The city also is working to create paths through the area to increase access to the park. Commissioner Ken Buchanan asked residents not to fill yard waste bags with rock and dirt. He said bags were to weigh no more than 35 pounds and should include only yard waste, such as leaves, grass, and branches. "So we ask that they start making them a little lighter," Buchanan said. And also included in the business was hydrant flushing. Commissioner John Wise said the city would begin its regular hydrant flushing around the city next week. "We're still getting some leaks," Wise said. "It's just one of those things. When it warms up or gets really cold, we get some leaks." In other news, mobile home tax bills due May 8th. In Clinton, DeWitt County mobile home tax bills were mailed on Monday, March the 2nd. The due date is Friday, May the 8th. Overdue payments will be assessed at an interest penalty of $25 per month, not to exceed a maximum of $100. Tax payments may be made at any banking institution in DeWitt County, at the DeWitt County Courthouse, 201 West Washington in Clinton, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and in the drop box at the northwest end of the courthouse parking lot. mailed to P.O. Box 439, Clinton, Illinois, 61727. The payment coupon attached to the bottom of the tax bill must accompany the payment. If you've not received your tax bill, call the County Treasurer's Office at 217-935-7820 to verify your address. And from the columns, there's no place like home. Home Safety Evaluations by Jill Cruz. In my role as a hospitalist, I'm always happy when a patient is healthy enough to be discharged. A resounding majority of people want to go back to their home after they leave the hospital. What we do not want is an unsafe environment leading to repeat injuries, resulting in a hospital readmission. At discharge, we can have members of the home health team perform a home safety evaluation. Physical therapist, occupational therapists, and sometimes speech therapists will evaluate a person's home for safety concerns and ensure it is set up optimally for best function. The team looks at areas where injuries typically occur. This could include the installation of grab bars in the bathroom or having a shower chair, paying attention to slipping or falling hazards, such as throw rugs or loose stair railings. Good lighting, especially on stairs and in hallways, can help prevent tripping and falling. Before hospital discharge, physical therapists will evaluate how well a person can walk, including their balance. If there are steps in the home, they will ensure the ability to navigate stairs is evaluated. They perform tests, which can help predict who is at higher risk for falling. The proverb may be, pride goeth before a fall, but a walker or cane could help prevent that. Unfortunately, too often pride is the reason that the walker or cane is not used in the first place. Using someone else's old walker may be a bargain, but proper walker and cane height is important. A used device may be more dangerous if it is not adjusted properly, and therapists can help confirm they are at the correct height. Occupational therapist evaluates a person's ability to perform activities of daily living. These include being able to feed, dress, or bathe themselves and using the bathroom. They have lots of assistive devices, tricks, and tips to assist people if arthritis, injuries, or recent surgery prevents the person from moving like normal. Speech therapists are asked at times to assess a person's cognition and safety awareness. They evaluate and determine if this person can recognize an emergency and get to safety or call for help. With dementia, the part of the brain responsible for logic and good decision-making is no longer working. Dementia patients often make impulsive mistakes, such as walking into traffic or forgetting to turn the stove off after cooking. There is no place like home, but it needs to be a safe home. With a few tips and modifications, your home can be a safe place to live, thereby keeping you there longer. We want you to stay healthy in there. Dr. Jill Cruz is a hospitalist in the Brookings Health System in Brookings, South Dakota. She serves as one of the Prairie Doc volunteer hosts during its 24th season providing health education based on science, built on trust. In other news, AI fears drives Illinois workers to put in 3 hours and 1 minute of extra work weekly. The rise of artificial intelligence in the workplace has brought with it a new kind of office anxiety. With automation increasingly capable of handling routine tasks, many white-collar employees worry that parts of their roles could eventually be replaced by software. The result? A growing number of workers appear to be quietly trying to prove their value. A new survey by Resume.io of 3,014 employees suggests the pressure is already changing behavior inside offices across the Prairie State. The study found that 81% of workers admit they are actively making an effort to demonstrate their value at work, either to compete with AI tools or simply to stand out should layoffs ever occur. Some of these efforts are subtle, while others involve giving up time that once belonged firmly to the margins of the workday. The most common ways employees say they are trying to prove their worth include learning new skills or training outside work hours, 14%, working longer hours than usual, 13%, taking on responsibilities outside their job description, 12%, volunteering for additional projects, 11%, skipping or shortening lunch breaks, 10%, responding to emails or messages faster than before, 8%, trying to visibly show productivity to managers, 7%, avoiding vacation time, 4%. Even small changes add up. Among Illinois employees who say they are working longer hours, respondents reported adding an extra 3 hours and 1 minute per week on average. Over the course of a year, that equates to roughly 156 additional working hours, the equivalent of 4 extra work weeks. AI anxiety is already changing work habits. The survey suggests that concerns about automation are already reshaping day-to-day routines for many employees. Lunch breaks, once a dependable pause in the middle of the day, also appear to be shrinking under the weight of the pressure. More than half of Illinois employees, 55%, said their lunch breaks have shortened over the past year due to work pressure or concerns about staying productive. For many workers, the pressure is not simply about doing more work, but about making sure the work is visible. When asked whether they feel the need to look busy in order to prove their value in an AI-driven workplace, 67% admitted they do. This aligns with the growing trend of so-called productivity theater, where employees focus on appearing busy and responsive rather than necessarily making meaningful progress on high-value tasks. While AI tools promise efficiency gains for companies, employees are feeling the psychological side of that shift. When asked how much pressure they feel to prove their productivity because of AI tools, 26% said they feel a lot of pressure. Additionally, more than two-thirds believe AI is already influencing how performance is judged. When asked whether artificial intelligence has changed the way managers evaluate productivity, more than half of the respondents, 52%, said expectations have increased, suggesting workers feel they are now held to a higher standard. Another 16% believe AI has shifted expectations toward greater speed and efficiency, with employees expected to complete tasks more quickly thanks to new tools. The biggest AI fear, losing the job entirely. When Illinois workers were asked about their biggest concern around AI, the most common fear was simple, losing their job altogether. Which of the following worries you the most about AI in the workplace? AI replacing my entire job, 34% of respondents. AI replacing part of my job, 30%. Being expected to produce more work because of AI tools, 22%. Falling behind colleagues who use AI more effectively, 14%. AI isn't just changing how work gets done, it's changing how people feel about their job security, says Amanda Augustine, resident career expert at resume.io and a certified professional career coach. We're seeing more employees put in extra time, take on additional responsibilities, or trying to be more responsive simply because they want to make sure their value is clear. The irony is, the more productive AI tools become, the more pressures some workers feel to show that the person behind the work is still essential. Another news story. Volunteers aim to pack 100,000 meals for impoverished families in Haiti. From Moquegua, organizer James Lee Jess is giving back to the Haitian community and hospital that rescued him nearly 15 years ago. What? James Lee's Packathon is a community-driven event supporting the Feed Milo Haiti Food Packathon, an initiative led by Holy Name Health System in New Jersey. Now in its second year, James Lee's Packathon, organized by James Lee Jess of Moquegua, will bring together over 200 volunteers who sort and pack nutritious meals for families in northern Haiti. Together, James Lee and his volunteers aim to pack over 50,000 meals, which will be distributed through Hospital Sacré-Cœur in Milo, Haiti, helping address food insecurity in the region. When? Sunday, April the 12th, 2026, 1 to 3 and 4 to 6 p.m. Where? At Central A&M High School, 2295 East Pine Street in Moquegua. Why? Born in Haiti, James Lee was orphaned in the 2010 earthquake. Critically injured, he was airlifted to Hospital Sacré-Cœur in Milo, where he received life-saving care. It was there that James Lee met an American volunteer who, along with her husband, adopted the baby boy. Today, James Lee is a 12th grader in Moquegua and a nationally recognized Eagle Scout. Through his packathons, he's giving back to the community that rescued him years ago. The boxes packed at the high school will be sent to Holy Name in New Jersey and then shipped to Holy Name's Haitian Hospital, Hospital Sacré-Cœur in Milo, less than a dozen miles from Cap-Haïtien, Haiti's second largest city. Hôpital Sacré-Cœur will distribute the hospital meals to impoverished children and families, including the elderly and medically compromised. Since the program started in 2021, more than 14,000 volunteers at Holy Name's Feed Milo Haitian Packathons nationwide have packed more than 3 million meals. Extreme food insecurity and famine are relentless in Haiti. 43% of Haitians, 4.7 million people, including 2.7 million children, face acute, life-threatening hunger. Many people eat only a single meal every 2 or 3 days. About Hôpital Sacré-Cœur. Hôpital Sacré-Cœur is the largest private hospital and a significant economic driver for the 250,000 people in the Milo area and the 3.2 million in northern Haiti. The 230-bed full-service hospital provides inpatient medical care and community outpatient programs to reach the medical and socioeconomic needs of the region. In 1986, the Crudem Foundation Incorporated, a 501c3 charitable organization, assumed supervision of and financial responsibility for Hôpital Sacré-Cœur. Based in Teaneck, New Jersey, the Holy Name Health Network incorporated Crudem into the Holy Name family as Haiti Health Promise of Holy Name in 2012. April is Alcohol Awareness Month. The National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, NCADD, sponsors Alcohol Awareness Month every April to increase public awareness, provide education, and advocate for effective prevention, treatment, and recovery services to support individuals and communities affected by substance use issues. This month recognizes individuals struggling with alcoholism and the negative effects of alcohol. It also aims to raise awareness and eliminate harmful stigmas surrounding alcoholism. The observance reminds us every person has value, regardless of their circumstances, and that it is never too late to seek and receive help for substance abuse. Alcohol Awareness Month is also a call to address and prevent underage drinking, especially among teenagers. NCADD reports, the age when individuals first start drinking alcohol is crucial, and it can influence their future health and social outcomes. Early initiation of alcohol consumption has been correlated with higher likelihood of facing challenges in both academic and social spheres. The Illinois Liquor Control Commission urges all parents, guardians, and educators to have open and honest conversations with the young people in their lives. It's not too early or too late to talk to your teens about alcohol, said Illinois ILCC Director Lisa Gardner. There are many resources available in Illinois from more than 163 Illinois Department of Human Services, IDHS, funded and licensed organizations, and more than 900 licensed facilities by contacting the Illinois Helpline. Call 833-234-6343. And again, that number is 833-234-6343. Follow the ILCC on social media this month to learn more about preventing underage drinking, starting conversations with teens about alcohol, and how alcohol affects health, and more. About the Illinois Liquor Control Commission. The Illinois Liquor Control Commission's mission is to protect health, safety, and welfare to the people of Illinois through careful control and regulation of the manufacture, distribution, and sale of alcoholic liquors, and through the development of strategies to reduce youth access to alcohol products and the provision of training and education on responsible beverage service. In local news, Vault Golden Gears Volunteer of the Month. Katie Cunningham was the Vault Golden Gears Cafe Volunteer of the Month. Cunningham was described as a truly dedicated member of the cafe team. She shows up to every shift with a positive attitude, ready to take on any order with enthusiasm. She always stays until the job is done, making sure everything is cleaned up and ready for the next day. She has been an incredible volunteer on our cafe staff, and we are so grateful for all that she does. The Golden Gears Cafe Small Business Leadership Program is made possible through a grant from the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation. Tina Horv is to speak at the DeWitt County Genealogical Society meeting April the 14th. The DeWitt County Genealogical Society will hold its next meeting on April the 14th at 4 p.m. at Vespasian Warner Public Library. Speaker Tina Horm will talk about preserving your family heirlooms at home. The public is welcome to attend the presentation. If you would like to attend virtually, please email dewittcgs@gmail.com to request a Zoom invitation no later than April the 13th. That's dewittcgs@gmail.com. And on that note, I will leave you for this week and hope the rest of your day is great and get out and enjoy some of the spring weather. I will return next week.